Hey, if you like F1, check out the Ringer F1 show. They covered the Mexican Grand Prix this week. I think Rosillo is there. I think Rosillo is going to talk about it on his podcast as well. But we are hitting the F1 season hard, the Ringer F1 show. You can find it on the Ringer Podcast Network. We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network. Go check out the Prestige TV podcast that we have, which has heated up because November is going to be just an awesome time for TV. Every Sunday night, starting this week, Joanna Robinson and I are recapping White Lotus. It goes up right up on that Prestige feed right after the White Lotus episode ends. Really good season. I've watched the first two episodes. It's a sexually charged season two. I will say that. We're also going to be covering Interview with the Vampire. We're covering Atlanta, two more episodes. The Crown next week. Mallory and Joanna are going to do multiple episodes about that. Yellowstone coming mid-November. Sex Lives of College Girls. So the Prestige TV pod, I think is an absolute elite pod. So is The Watch with Andy Greenwald and his host, Chris Johnson? I can't remember his name. Oh, Chris Ryan. Chris Ryan, that's right. He's still cranking it out. So you have that. We have the Ringer Reality Feed. We have Bachelor Party. A lot of good TV stuff. Speaking of pop culture, Rewatchables, new theme week, new theme month. It's better than the theme week. It's a theme month. It's from the producers of Fucked Up February. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's on par with Fucked Up February. I'll tell you that much. And the first one is going up on Monday night. It will be a whole month of movies like the one we're doing on Monday night. That will be your only hint. So you can go check that out. The Cuz is going to come up in a second. We're going to talk about NFL. I was going to have a basketball guest because this Kyrie situation and the Nets in general, it's gotten so strange that I was thinking, do I have a second guest to talk hoops today? Because it just feels like the NBA feels drunk this year. I don't understand it. I mean, there's clearly some parity that's happening. Right? Teams that we thought were going to stink, like Utah and Indiana and San Antonio, like they actually don't stink. They can compete. They can beat teams from night to night. So we have that. And then we just have some super disappointing teams like, you know, the Clippers, Kawhi's already hurt. Brooklyn is devastatingly disappointing. Philly starting to show signs, but they, you know, we'll see how that plays out. I'm still not sold. And on down the line, Milwaukee is the only one. But the only thing we can all agree on is Giannis is the best player in the league. But the Kyrie thing, I'm going to give it a little air, and I think we'll hit it on Tuesday. But, you know, I joked with Mahoney on Thursday night that the Nets season was going badly and Kyrie hadn't even done anything weird yet. And in 18 hours, Kyrie was like, hold my beer. How this plays out, I almost don't feel like we've seen a situation like this. So anyway, Tuesday, I'm going to hit the NBA pretty hard. So stay tuned for that. On this podcast, we're going to hit football really, really, really hard. We're going to do a little parent corner as well. Cousin Sal, coming up next. First, our friends from Pearl Jam. Cousin Sal is here Sunday night, a little after 8:30. A pretty blah Packers-Bills game that looked a lot better on paper 10 weeks ago. Speaking of blah, Sal, I feel like we know all the playoff rankings already. We're 8 weeks in. Buffalo and Philly are going to be the number one seeds unless there's just some catastrophic injuries on either team.
All right. Not arguing with you there. Yeah.
So I have for AFC... I have Buffalo, KC 2, Baltimore 3, and Tennessee 4 with the division seeds. Cincy, Miami as wild cards, and then either the Pats or Chargers as the 7 seed. And I think we can lock that down, barring something really bizarre.
Wait a minute. Oh, since okay, you have Cincy in.
I have Cincy as top wild card. Yeah. So, and then NFC, I have Philly. Mm-hmm. I have Minnesota as the 2 seed. They're 3 games up on Green Bay.
Yep. Now it gets hard.
Well, either San Francisco or Seattle is the 3 seed. Pick one.
Wow. Wow.
Your NFC South, whoever the F that's going to be, that's the 4 seed. Your team's going to be 5. the loser in San Francisco, Seattle 6. And then the only really, really, like, I have no idea what's going to happen is the 7 seed, where you have the Giants, the Rams, the Packers, mm-hmm. Washington, maybe a second NFC North team. I don't remember this much stability with what the playoffs look like this early.
You're right. It's right there. I'm trying to think who could sneak in. At this time last year, though, we might not have thought the Bengals were going to do anything. Even they might not have even been on their list. And I think they made it to the Super Bowl. I'm not sure. But,
is that what happened? I don't remember.
Don't know. I don't know. Yeah. You're right. It really is those top 2-3 teams. And then it's like, yeah, you idiot 3-4-1 teams who fight it out to see who's going to get the 6 and 7 seed. But I'm mad at us because we swore off the 3-team teasers. You even hearkened back to your, what year was it? 2004.
The Doughboys waitress. Yeah, talking about 3-team teasers in LA.
Oh, the 14 in my head is that we hit 14 weeks in a row or 10 weeks in a row? What did we do?
No, in 2004, I think we hit 11 straight weeks of teases. It was just mix and match with 5 teams. Everything hit.
And then, damn it, we should have bounced back. But because we're so scared to get our fingers anywhere close to the stove anymore that cooks up the 3-team teasers, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Bills was the easiest thing we should have done. And it was the only thing we should have done on a 3-team teaser today.
You're right. But we're like emotionally damaged rescue animals. Yeah, just couldn't do it. Even like Dallas Bears, the Bears climbed back into it. And I think it was like a 5-point game. I'm like, here we go. Tease killer. There was some weird stuff today. I think the only thing with Buffalo is they are starting to hit the injury point of no return with the secondary. Like Poyer went out today. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, like, could that come back to haunt them against the wrong team? They're going to put, I mean, they're the only team that's over 100 in point differential. They bring the most to the table for how basketball is, or for how football is played in 2022, where the quarterback who can move, the running game's good enough, deep threats. They're just that they just move the chains and guys seem to be open. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, no. And the other thing you didn't mention is the defense. So when you hear announcers talk about the highest success of pressure rate and the least amount of blitzing in the league, it's like, oh God, you know, the Giants did that to you. That's how they won the Super Bowl, right? Barring injury, if you have number one in pressures and last in the league in blitz, barring injury, you're going to go deep into the playoffs. You just are. And forget on, and then everything you just said, Josh Allen completing passes to Gabriel Davis and Stephon Diggs and all these guys, and Knox is wide open and they do the running game like they can to win. It looked like the Packers of old, kind of. But yeah, they just toyed with the Packers a little bit, even though the numbers, if you look at it, were pretty even.
What do you have for most surprising under 500 team? I'll give you Green Bay at 3-5 with Sad Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Tampa at 3-5 with just completely emotionally broken Brady. The Los Angeles Rams 3-4. Yeah. I think Vegas being 2-5 is surprising to your wallet. And Cleveland 3-5, probably not surprising. But I think those first four, most of us would have been surprised.
Yeah, I'm an idiot because I had the Raiders to win the West, so that was dumb. So it surprises me a little bit. But you have to think that the Super Bowl champs are going to put up some kind of fight and not, and by the way, if they're down Cooper Kupp, I mean, you might as well put them in the bottom 7 teams because they can't move the ball without him. I think that would be the most surprising. But I checked right before I came on here. The preseason, if you had parlayed the Packers, the Rams, and the Bucks to not make the playoffs, it was 68-1. Probably should have been
more. Oh, my God. But, yeah, that sounds like that should have been like 200-1.
Yeah, but it's a reality now. Really
well,
nuts.
We knew there was some we had questions about the Rams. There was a little stink with them. Now I look at the rest of their schedule. Mm-hmm. They have 6 road games left. This was supposed to be the easiest part of their schedule. They're at Tampa. They have an at New Orleans, at KC back-to-back. They're at Green Bay on a Monday night, and then they end the season at the Chargers and at Seattle. And I guess my question is, does it matter? Because today was a road game for them at home against San Francisco.
That was disgusting. If you would have asked me today who's the most embarrassing loss, the Raiders or the Rams, I think it's the Rams, and you have to consider that it was a sea of red in that stands. And this is the second time you talk about their road games. This is the second time they've been blown out at home, right? Cowboys went in there and whipped them. And now the 49ers. Doesn't look good for them at all.
They have 4 losses, all of them by double digits, 21, 15, 12, and 17. I had a couple friends at the game today And I, you know, I always ask, like, what's the percentage? Both of them mm-hmm. said 85. They weren't sitting with each other. They were like, it's 85% Niners
wow.
fans.
Why is said, that? Like, when did that get like that?
Well, that's that one was predictable because you have 85. A lot of San Fran transplants. You can fly. It takes an hour. But I was asking people, how does this keep happening to the Rams beyond just the fact that they don't have the fan base? And apparently they got so behind financially with that stadium. Remember, they thought that stadium was going to cost like $2.5 billion, maybe $3 billion max. It ended up being over $5 billion.
Five. Yeah.
So they had to offload a lot of tickets. Plus, they didn't have a lot of ticket interest for season tickets. So they had to offload some of those tickets to ticket brokers. So now, anytime there's a situation where it's like Niners, Dallas, Patriots, the Giants, anybody who has like fans that travel, it's going to be between 50% and 80%. And I was worried. I didn't want to take the Niners today. It was staring at me. It looked way too obvious. The public was on it. And I was worried because it just looked too easy and that we've been burned by the Niners a couple times this year. But then you watch, you're like, wow, we're getting basically a home team that's better laying one against this banged up Rams team. That's my biggest regret of the day.
I wasn't anywhere near it. When you and I went over the lines last week, I thought this was off by 3 points. I thought the Rams should be favored. And so then I stupidly went with what I thought should be, right? So, okay, 49ers are favorite. I'm going to take the Rams. Not that the point really matters, but the point is that I took the team that I thought was going to win, and it was a Christian McCaffrey coming out part. Really, I know he debuted last week, but you saw that he could do everything, and not just because he ran through and caught a touchdown pass. Just like, he is so, so perfect for Jimmy G, who now goes through his progressions and seems to land on McCaffrey every single time because he's as afraid as we are of three-team teasers, he is of throwing downfield. And so it's just what a perfect match for him. And yeah, I think they're only minus 130 to win that division. I was going to maybe talk you. You might have that already. Do you already have that?
You know, I laid off a couple times. I am officially scared of Seattle. We're going to talk about them next segment. Yeah. The McCaffrey thing, I had some notes on it. I think it's so cool when a guy switches teams and instantly becomes way more interesting, way more compelling, matches the talent that we had just basically in fantasy leagues, and that's it. Like, you see this happen in TV shows and with movies sometimes, but especially TV shows. Like, White Lotus season 2 started tonight. I broke it down actually in the Prestige podcast with Joanne Robinson.
You watched it already?
I got the screeners. We put it up. But Aubrey Plaza's on there. And I think Aubrey Plaza is somebody that a lot of people like and a lot of different things and hasn't had like the major high profile show really since Parks and Recs. And she plays this like really, really bitter wife who's just shitting on everybody. And you watch her and you're like, wow, what a great role for Aubrey Plaza, right? So this always happens with Hollywood. With sports, doesn't happen that much. But you see McCaffrey with the new uniform and this coach that has all these different gimmicks with running backs, and it just is like, wow, this is great. What a fucking great fit for this. It's rare that trades work out this cool.
And he's basically a college, a bong in a college room. It's like, oh, I could use the bong for what it's worth. Right. You know, or I could stick some flowers in it when my parents come by on parents' weekend. Or I could use it as a weapon if there's an intruder ever. Like, he really use him for anything you want. And he's great for Jimmy G and Shanahan. I'll give it to him. He's a genius when it comes to the running back. So,
did you see the record he did?
No.
He was the third guy to run, pass, and throw for a TD in the same game. Third running back, yeah. And the other two were Peyton and LaDainian, which is like, wow. That is...
Really?
Yeah, wow. that's hallowed ground. I don't know where Bill Sayers was on that whole thing. But yeah, it was such a fun trade because I think... Even though the Jimmy G trade, I think all of us thought that gave them a better chance for this season. I think all of us were looking at that Niners team a little blah, right? I was like, all right, same thing, right? Runs, just plugging different running backs, and Kittle will get hurt a couple times, and now Debo will do a couple things, and they'll blow some leads, and I don't really take this team seriously. But he is definitely giving them the shocker. Now, I don't want to overreact because he could get hurt tomorrow, right?
That's exactly
the guy
right.
That's trouble staying on the field.
The very next thing I was going to say. It's like, it's too crazy because they absolutely need him in there.
Well, and they have Kittle who could get hurt at any time and Debo who takes two monster hits a game. Mm-hmm. So this might be the best it ever gets, but pretty cool. I was thinking, you know, at the Rams, you have the Clippers building that arena next to SoFi Stadium, which is now the home for other NFL fans to go to if their team is playing in town that week or you do a road trip. And the Clippers, Kawhi is having knee problems again. It's year four. They've spent all this money and they're probably a play-in team. Who knows what their future is? They've traded a bunch of picks and assets and they're opening, I think, in that for the either the 24-25 season or the next one. We need a nickname for that part of Inglewood if it's like the sad Rams and the sad Clippers. It's like Sad City.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's something, right? It's just like, it'll be like $8 billion worth of stadium for fan bases that don't give a shit about their teams.
Right. Yeah. I they almost should move the Rams. Like, has this ever happened in the history of sports where your team wins a championship? Your team wins a championship and then your fans are outnumbered 8-1
in a
rivalry game. There's nothing.
Can you imagine if that happened to your team or my team? Like,
no.
If we had a Patriot game and 85% of the fans were the other team, I would stop following the Patriots. I wouldn't know what to do. I need a sabbatical.
Celtics sold all the tickets to Sixers fans tonight. I don't know what happened. They just needed a break. It was nice outside. Nice outside. That excuse too. Come on. It's got to be 70,000 Rams fans that want to see them every other week.
Well, in LA, we have City of Industry, which is this weird part of the outskirts of LA where there's like no people live there. It's just industrial stuff and some gentlemen's clubs. But the Sad City, I think, could be its own thing, right? It's like, what happens in Sad City? Oh, there's concerts and you can go to basketball games and root for the visiting team. And then there's a football game 8 times a year. You can root for that visiting team. It's great. And it'll just be like people just passing through, but no actual fans.
I like Sad City. Yeah. Maybe Sad City. Ingle, would you rather? I don't know. It's like everybody else. Everyone's going somewhere else with this.
Ingle, would you rather is great.
Yeah.
You go down to Ingle, would you rather? by the way, not a short drive. Not that anyone outside California cares, but it's not like easy to get to Inglewood from LA. So
it's 6 miles and an hour and a half from me. That's what it is. Yeah.
Listen,
it's closer to me.
Anytime you can build a $5 billion+ stadium and then have 85% of the fans of the other team.
Oh, man.
Hey, I have another question for you. Because McVay, obviously, they had a couple sideline shots of him. And he had the same look on his face that Durant's had in a couple Nets games. And that Brady basically has all the time. Who regrets not giving up on the NFL before this season more, in your opinion? Brady, McVay, or Al Michaels?
Oh, wow. That's really good.
Who has the most regret?
Because Al really is
like,
question.
You could tell with Al, he's like, wow.
Yeah.
I had enough money and I'm old. What am I doing? I just can't click with Herb Street. I miss Collinsworth. Like, maybe I should have packed it in at this point. Brady looks like he'd rather be anywhere else. Like when that Mike Evans play, when Mike Evans just kept running the crossing route and Brady threw it behind him. And it was just like, he just wanted to walk off and just disappear. And then McVay, who could have left the title, not coached anymore, not coached this smoke and mirrors team that everything was in last season and just done TV for a couple of years and made a shitload of money, been the biggest coaching free agent year after year. Like, what's better than that? I think it's McVay.
It's a really good three. And it's embarrassing for McVay. Like I said, he looks up at the crowd and then he gets beat by Shanahan. Also, when's the last time that, again, eight regular season games in a row or something crazy? I know
he did get him in the playoff game, though.
Right. They got him in the playoff, 8 regular season games. I'll still say Al. I don't think there's any coming back for him. I don't think he gets excited about it. There's nothing that can do it this year. At least the Rams could maybe sneak into the playoffs, but not Al.
No.
Not long for it.
Al's just like one of those porn actors. He's just walking into the scene. He doesn't care who the actresses with, just banging at the scene and getting the hell out of there.
Right.
Back in his Corvette 45 minutes later.
Yeah, I would watch that. I would watch that, by the way. I don't know if that makes me a sicko.
We both love Al Michaels. The unhappiest Al season will always be the Boomer Esiason season. Like that's the oral history I've always wanted to read. It's the Al Boomer. Anyway, fascinating Rams Niners game. Let's take a break and I want to talk Jets and Seahawks. All right, so the Pats pulled one out against the Jets because Belichick owns the Jets. The game was sitting there for the Jets. Mac threw just an atrocious pick six. The Jets would have been up 14. rough in the passer. Legitimate call, by the way. I had a couple of Jets fans like, oh, it was a bogus call. It's like, just point me to the other football game where right. the quarterback released the ball and then the defensive lineman behind him took a two-step jump and piled him. They're calling that 100% of the time. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
It turns around and then Zach Wilson unravels in a hilarious way. I watched with Kyle and his father, Joe, and mm-hmm. we were just yelling, throw it to us, Zach, on every possession. And he did. He threw it to us. Sometimes we dropped it or we had a miscommunication of who was going to catch the pick. He was running around like it was a seventh grade football game. And it was a quarterback who had never really played before, didn't totally know what to do, but had watched a lot of Madden.
Right.
And I just don't know how. First of all, we thought they were going to pull him for Flacco.
Yeah.
But I don't
Three
know.
Three is usually the number. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Three will get you in trouble.
I don't know how they go back to him next week. The Jets are pretty good. Like, they have a really good defensive line. I think they have some skill guys. Garrett Wilson was good today. If they even had a decent quarterback, I think they win that game or come close, because the Pats didn't trust Mac at all after that first half interception. So, well, they're, I don't pathetic. Know. What do you do they're the Jets.
They're pathetic fans like you don't trust them. I'm really, really, honestly, really feel bad for you guys. Like, really, you can't have one year where your quarterback's not good.
What? It's three. 15, it's our third 15 year.
15 freaking, oh, come on.
It's our you have third a, year with a quarterback we don't trust. It's 3 years
that
now.
You don't trust.
So lifetime.
Look at his stats, 180, a touchdown. Like, that's what everybody gets.
Stop
that's
it.
What everybody in this league gets. 180 yards a touchdown, whatever he Come ended on. Up with. Please they, stop once, crying. Stop crying. You had
they came out of the...
For 16 years.
It was 19.
I'm embarrassed for you. I get embarrassed for you. People are like, I'm like, I know. I'll talk to him. I don't know. I don't think he's going to change. He and Hench, they say, yeah, we have seven years of grace period. We don't have to. And then right back at it. You get two bad drives and you're all over.
I thought Mac Jones was going to be good. And by the halfway through this third quarter, they didn't trust him at all. They were just at the end of the second quarter when they got the ball back after the rough in the passer, they didn't even try to score a touchdown. They had like a carefully selected couple plays to start the third. And then after that, I didn't feel like they trusted him. And I honestly, he's looked bad this year. Like consistently has looked way off. He's looked slow. He's had bad decision making. And I don't think they trust him.
I think he's doing it on purpose. It's an experiment for a-hole Pats fans like you to see fly off the handle because you don't have a good quarterback for 2 years. Oh, come on yourself.
Can I have a decent quarterback? I'll settle for decent.
Look at his numbers compared to everybody else. He's not that much worse. Mariota's in first place. You want him? Who do you want?
Well, Mariota shouldn't be in first place. We'll talk about that game later.
I know you don't like that. All right, as far as Zach Wilson goes, yeah. I don't know. This is the one thing with the Jets, as good as they were. Nobody said Zach Wilson's having a great year before this week, right? It was all Breece Hall. It was all the defense. I'm like, yeah, I'd like to see Zach Wilson do a little something. And today we saw him do a little something the other way. So I don't know if Flacco's the answer, but I don't even know if that team's making the playoffs at 5-3. They got some tough games coming up. So, I think they should just be happy and level off at 8-9, and that's where they'll end up.
You know what would be really fun is if it worked like the NBA. Like the NBA right now, anybody who's in trouble, it's like, could this team, this trade, that trade, Durant, like you name a player, anybody who's under 500, Embiid, could Embiid go to the Knicks?
Mm-hmm.
A Packers-Jets trade would be really fun. There's no way it works under the cap, but if the Jets were like, hey, just give us Aaron Rodgers. We'll give you Zach Wilson back. We'll give you two firsts, and the Packers could just basically throw in the towel. They're killed on the cap this year, but they can't do it because the way they have the stupid cap with the whatever you pay the guy the bonus, it gets spread out. But just putting Aaron Rodgers on this Jets team, I'd be terrified. He still has like the arm. I mean, he doesn't have the spirit. He's a little older, but it's not like he's not still really good.
I can't explain what's going on with him, with Rodgers. I watched that and he really looked like, I was joking because we were on Spotify Live. I'm like, Rodgers is getting us the cover. Now he knows what's important. He cut it to 10, spreads 10.5. And then they show him on the bench, like smiling with Aaron Jones. He's like, laugh. I'm like, wow, maybe he just does want the cover. Maybe he just wants to keep these games respectable. You know, like on 3rd and 14, he's handing off. Like, I get it. It's safe, but the old Aaron Rodgers, who was able to throw downfield,
right,
would take a shot there. I really think he's just, right now, it's about not embarrassing himself.
Yeah, that's interesting. You're right. The gunslinger Rodgers. I keep going back to this thing Fitzpatrick said when I had Ryan Fitzpatrick on my pod, and he was talking about how these guys don't try on Hail Marys because they don't want to ruin their stats.
Yeah, I believe
and
it.
I do wonder if that even goes further than just the Hail Marys. Like, if he feels, you know, does he take less chances if he doesn't trust his receivers? Does he not want to have like 10 interceptions after six games, or, you know, have like a 20 interception season? Who knows?
But then he let one go. He's like, threw a touchdown pass. Like, all right, who is that? Torrey? All right, I'll let it go. Let's see what happens here. I don't know. I met him once in practice, but I'll uncork it and good things happen. But yeah, for the most part, not interested in throwing downfield. And we know when you throw short, it's going to be tipped and picked and all that stuff.
I wouldn't say he has a lot of receiver weapons, but that's also partly his fault, because when you're taking that much money in the cap, teams are going to have to make decisions.
Do you made trade
decisions with Adams?
Do you trade Adams for Bisaccia straight up at this point? Bisaccia is the special teams coach, not exactly lighting it up for the Packers.
No.
Do you make that trade right up? No.
Adams, Raiders, I thought, got hurt because he was 1 for 3 yards today, and it was like, no, he actually played the whole game.
The flu. Yeah, he played with the flu, I guess. So.
So,
no.
Jets fans, I have a few of them in my life. All of them were just completely discombobulated by that Zach Wilson thing. Like, tough to come back from.
Right.
18 games. They're 7-11 when he plays. He's 12 touchdowns, 16 interceptions for the year. It feels worse. He's thrown for 33-62. But if they missed on this pick, they took Sanchez fifth at 09. They took Darnold third in 2018, and they took Wilson second in 21. So in the span of 13 drafts, three top five picks on quarterbacks, and they would have gone 0-3, unless you count. You give a little to Sanchez because he won a playoff game against the Pats in New England.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a complete bust.
A road game, yeah. Yeah,
but then you go backwards.
What are you saying? The Jets drafts are bad? Of course, yeah.
You go backwards.
Punchline.
Pennington, 18.
Mm-hmm.
Kellen Clemens, 49th. And then the one quarterback they hit on, 39th pick in 2013, possible MVP of the 2022 season, Geno Smith.
Yeah, right.
So when people say the Jets can't draft quarterbacks, they drafted Geno Smith, who is an MVP candidate and is in the running for best quarterback in the NFC. And they drafted him. They had him.
But he was 8-8 with the Jets, wasn't he, that one year? And then the fight, and it just was like circumstance took over.
He went to the Giants. He got buried behind Eli. Then he was basically Russell Wilson's backup. He did have one of those. It's almost like when we knew John Hamm before Mad Men.
Right.
And it was like, that's Jennifer's boyfriend. Oh, he's an actor. It's like, oh, cool. And then he's got this show, Mad Men. It's like, oh, that sounds cool. That's great. Mm-hmm. And then he turned into John Hamm. Gino, he's like the fucking John Hamm of QBs.
He is?
Bounced around for 10 years.
We're going to see him sidling up next to Flo and the progressive ads. I could see it.
Gino should have Mercedes some progressive ads.
Yeah. Let's see your voice. Let's hear your voice, Gino. I like rooting for that team, especially when they're playing the Giants, but they're a lot of fun. And they play defense. They, you know, that defense allowed one touchdown today. I think they've had two games with one touchdown and one with two in the last four. Like, they really play D. They got the fans back. Talk about fans.
Oh, that's my God.
The Rams must look at that and be like, what the hell? We'll never come close to that. But at least that place is loud, and you know what you're getting every week out of those fans. And then you got K-9, Kenny Walker, the third. Great pickup.
One, the most unorthodox runner in the league, except for the guy on Washington. Walker.
Robinson. Yeah.
He's got this herky jerky stutter start game, and he carries the ball in the wrong hand like 2/3 of the time. Like the touchdown he had today, he's running right to left with the ball in his right hand as guys are trying to tackle him. But he gets by everybody. He's like a legit weapon. They got two good receivers, and Lockett stunk today. And there was this moment when they came out of commercial and Geno was coming over just trying to pull Lockett back in because Lockett had a big fumble. He dropped a touchdown, hit his helmet. And they go over and they show Geno just trying to like kind of bring him back in like a real leader. And I was like, oh, this is a nice moment. This isn't like a Russell Wilson, I know the cameras are on me moment. This is just, I need to get this guy back. We have a chance to win this game. I'll tell you this. I was going to bet Seattle all week. And I was like, I was afraid of the Giants because they've just over week after week, they pull games out of their ass. Fourth quarter, you think you have it. They do something. And I was like, I think this can go down to 2.5. And never did. It stayed at 3. And I stayed away. And I was so mad because Seattle, Seattle's home field is just with this team and Geno not making mistakes, they're going to be a really hard team to play as we head into November, December, January.
I agree. And you know, that whole thing, when I saw it too, with Geno coming over to the sideline. I'm like, oh, is this another thing where the young quarterback goes to the guy who's been around a while? And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Geno's been playing quarterback since 1984 in the NFL. Like, this actually makes sense. So you're right. There's that leadership, not annoying leadership quality versus what you're exactly right, what Russ offers Denver. And you know that team is pissed they won because now it's just high knees in the aisles for the next 10 weeks. On every flight. It's going to be awful for them.
Well, after the game, Tyler Lockett said, it's amazing what we can accomplish when no one cares who gets the credit.
Hmm.
Just the fucking drive-bys at Russ are unbelievable. Like, there's guys like Sherman and Marshawn and people like that that are just, you know, they're just coming out and firing bullets. And then there's like all the stuff like that. A lot of... I didn't realize... I think this diehard Seattle fans kind of knew, but they didn't want to admit it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize how dysfunctional the Russ thing was. I think it was way worse than we thought. And then it was like Pete's holding Russ back. It's like, is he? This is the kind of team Pete wanted to coach.
I can't believe, I think like just dozens of guys were waiting for him to lose, right? It's like, oh man, why do we tolerate this? We've all worked with people like this, but like, he is productive. I can see why they keep him around. He's a good earner. Wait a minute. He can't complete a pass over the middle. All right. Okay. Let's start talking. We ship this guy off.
Well, Geno for the season, 107 QB rating, 13 TDs, 3 picks. He's thrown for almost 2,000 yards and he leads the league in completion percentage, which can be a bogus stat from time to time. But you have the combo of they're getting big plays. He's protecting the ball, which was a problem with him in the past. And he keeps the chains moving. And I don't know. I think it's a legitimate team.
I feel like he throws downfield. I know he's in the 70s for completion percentage, but it's not a Drew Brees type. It's not a 4-yard check down to Kamara. You know, it's he throws downfield a lot.
He does the thing that Kyle and I are just going nuts about with Mac. Like just every once in a while, 3-step drop, just try to get your receiver to make a play. Just throw it downfield. Mm-hmm. Just put it in the air. Let your guy go up and get something. They have Lockett and they have Metcalf. So their over-under for the season was 5.5. They were 15-1 on FanDuel to win the division. They were 71 to win the conference. They were plus 540 to win the playoffs before the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember whether we went over. Oh, I guess I went over on that one. I don't remember what you did. They have next games. They're at Arizona, at Tampa.
Right.
Vegas.
Versus Tampa. I think they're home for Tampa. Yeah.
That's a Germany game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they have another San Francisco game. They have a Kansas City game at Kansas City on Christmas Eve. And
that's going to be exciting, that 49ers game in Seattle, December 15th. That's a night game, too. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think they're going to get to 10 wins. Don't you?
Yeah, I do. They may only need 9 for that division, but I think they get to 10. They're a fun team. And listen, as a Cowboys fan, I know we're probably, if we don't win the division, much, much, much rather go to Atlanta and even Tampa, who beat us, than I would Seattle. In the playoffs.
Right. So how I laid that out for you, if you're the top wild card, assuming you can't beat Philly, I would guess you're going to play the NFC South, whoever comes out of there. So would you rather go to Tampa, Atlanta, New Orleans, or Carolina?
Oh, just out of those four. Yeah.
But you'd rather go to Carolina, but they're probably not going to make it.
That's the 4 or 5. Oh, man. If Micah Parsons can't figure out Marcus Mariota, then something's wrong. I'm sorry. I know you hate that game, and I don't know when you want to talk about it, but another stupid win for the Falcons.
let's talk about it now. Just to put a bow on Geno.
Yeah.
I think he's like the king of Seattle right now.
Hall of Fame.
He's like the most popular guy in Seattle. Like, how do you not love that story? Love that guy. You trade Russ away, you get this haul back, you get Geno in his place. This incredible redemption story. What's a better story than that? It's him and Julio Rodriguez.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. It's got to be those two.
Whenever the Sonics come back.
I don't know what, does he get comeback player of the year or there's no more?
Oh, he has to. Create a new award for him. Create the Geno Smith, I thought you were dead award and give it to Geno Smith.
It's too early. They didn't renew the odds, but it refreshed the odds. But yeah, I think he passed Barkley today in terms of being in the top of the leaderboard there for comeback player.
Well, you and I are old enough to remember like this bigger versions of this. Jim Plunkett, number one pick for the Patriots overall, 1970. Gets the shit kicked out of him for 6 years. Ends up getting waived. Goes to the Niners. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, they traded him to the Niners. Gets waived. Ends up on the Raiders. Ends up in a couple Super Bowls, right? That's like the best one. There was a Vinny Testaverde redemption where he was on the Browns. Then Parcells loved him. Had him on the Jets for a while. This is probably closer to Testaverde. But still, considering like he never had a moment and he was never a number one pick.
Yeah,
and even heading into the preseason, it was like it's going to be him or Drew Locke, and nobody was like, "That's crazy. How is it not Geno Smith?" Because he'd never really done anything.
And don't forget, they beat Denver that first week, right? And it's like, oh, that's good. That's funny. I get a kick out of this. It calms all the Russ lovers and the Denver lovers down for a minute. Then they lost it next two, so it's like, all right, this is the rebuilding team we knew. And then they got it back going again. Fun team for sure.
On FanDuel, Allen is +125 for MVP, and that's looking pretty convincing. Geno has the 7th best odds now at 32-1.
Does he? Is he 7th?
Tua is 9th. 10th at 75-1. Tua's fantasy stats are kind of shocking. I don't know if you've looked at the fantasy leaders this year, but Tua's stats are way up there.
Oh, I had him on my bench today. Believe me, I know all about good. It.
Congrats.
Yeah, 32 points. Hurts should get more consideration. He's pretty solid. He throws a good long ball. Yeah, and they're going to lose two games this year.
I would say Allen, clear favorite, but then it's probably Hurts, Mahomes, and I think Geno. I think that's the four right now.
I'm fine with that.
8 weeks in, it's time to start talking about MVP at least a tiny bit. Hey, Hench wanted us to do a 2022 redraft, but with just the QBs. So if you could have any QB from that draft, Lawrence, Jones, Wilson, Fields, Mills, and I'm leaving somebody out. No, that was it, right? Those five?
Yeah, that was,
2021, right? The Lawrence draft.
Yeah.
Would you still take Lawrence out of all those guys?
You know, I'll sign off on that guy hit a ceiling. I mean, I think he's fine. He'll have games because his big thing in Clemson was his running when he'd take off. And I still think he could be dangerous there, but which coach is going to figure out? You never know now, which if it's going to be the coach or it's going to be the player that doesn't want to run. But if he doesn't have that, I don't care about that. I mean, I think we would definitely have had Fields 5th on that list. And now Fields might be number one. He keeps things interesting, believe it or not.
Fields I was really, really impressed with him in the Pats game. I thought he was pretty good today too, but but when you consider he has no weapons and they haven't really done a lot for pushing him to succeed, now it feels like I think Eberflus is actually a pretty good coach. I was impressed with him last week. I think I might have Fields first. What's interesting is I think at least three of these guys you would have said, like last year you might have said Mac at some point, right? After like week 11, you might have been like Mac might have been the best quarterback in the thing. Then I think it was Lawrence after week 2 this year. And now I think it might be Fields.
It's just weird how you're locked into it. It's like Zach Wilson was definitely going to go to the Jets. Remember that year? It was going to be definitely going to be. Trey Lance was definitely, you know, going to be early. Mac Jones was the wild card, right? He fell. And then Davis Mills, we made this pretend thing like he was better than everybody. And now it's like, now it's been a couple of years.
He's been awful.
Joe Burrow's the last great one. Or I guess Tua, if you want to
throw
Herbert in there.
Herbert in there.
All right, we'll throw him in there. But now that's 2 years removed already. I mean, and 10 quarterbacks.
Emmanuel Acho had a smoking hot. Did you see that clip he did about how Tua is better than Herbert?
Yeah.
It was aggressive. I don't mind when people do those where it's like there's just enough of a kernel of a truth. Somebody's going to be like, fuck it, and do a 3-minute video about it. It's like, I think Tua's won more games. He had more success in college. I was like, all right. Decent case.
I think he was with us. In fact, he used the word overpraised when referring to Herbert, but I'm not sure I'm ready well, that, to compare there's difference between, you
know? Herbert was a little overpraised, I think, and probably still is. But at the same time, like, he's gotten the shit kicked out of him this year. He might be playing with broken ribs for all we know. And he's had really bad luck with his receivers, and his coach might be a moron for all we know. Right. So there you go.
And the Dolphins put together a team for Tom Brady and somehow got stuck with Tua. And it's like, okay, you got Waddle now, you got Tyreek Hill, got a running game. So
might have worked out. Mm. Lombardi had a thing on Vissin about, he wrote a piece about, he called it six back or six pack. He kind of vacillated between those two about this new thing about these quarterbacks that can run. Basically, teams now trying to put six guys who are threats on the field, right? Where it's like run pass with any of the six guys. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the new version of how to cheat without having a quarterback. It was an interesting piece, but you see a team like Atlanta who's like, all right, Mariota, he's not very good, but we're going to make it seem like he might run around. And, you know, and there's way better versions of this. Lamar is actually accurate and can do it. But for the most part, it does feel like the version of football we're watching this year feels really different. It takes pieces from the 1920s and from like the 1970s, but then you'll see these teams throwing deep all of a sudden for 10 minutes. But then I don't really understand what's happening, and I'm not smart enough about football to figure it out. But people are like, they moved the safeties back. And I was like, really? That's it? So they moved safeties back, and now we're playing football completely different? Like, that can't be it. So yeah, I don't know what
11,
to make of it.
Still 11 guys, right? Like, you know, Rodgers, Brady, Stafford were all able to find soft coverage in the zone or wherever you put the safeties. I don't understand that, but it really, you're right. It only seems like three guys are throwing deep now. Burrow, Wilson, Burrow, Allen, and I think Hurts. So like the only guys that throw deep consistently now.
Well, remember we thought when they took over the, you can't kill the guy going over the middle anymore. We're like, wow, everybody's good for 5,000 yards. Even Jameis threw for like 5,300 that year. So I don't know what era we're entering into, but you know, I watched Mariota win today. Let's take a break, and then I want to complain about the Panthers. All right, so I adopted the Panthers as my, I can't believe they're going to make the playoffs team. I knew it was going to be someone from the NFC. I had the wrong team. Could have been Seattle, could have been the Giants, could have been Atlanta. I have Carolina. It looked like it was going to flip today. They kind of dominated that Falcons game. PJ Walker threw a terrible pick at the end of the first half. But for the most part, they just looked like a better team for the entire game. Falcons did Falcons stuff. They go ahead. Carolina's basically, you know, has enough time to at least get in like Hail Mary or 30-yard range. But before they get to Hail Mary range, Walker chucks it I think it was the farthest they've measured in 6 years. He threw it like almost 70 yards and hits DJ Moore. DJ Moore catches it to tie the game, PAT pending, runs out of bounds from the end zone and takes his helmet off. And they call the 15-yard helmet thing, but he wasn't on the field. I've seen this interpreted. I've seen games where the defender has got the interception, sprinted off the field, and immediately took his helmet off. They didn't call it. I have no idea what the celebration thing is. I looked at the rule book. I'm still confused. So anyway, 48-yard PAT for Eddie Pinheiro. He misses it. Going to overtime, Mariota throws a pick right away. They're on like the 20. And instead of being like, no, let's not bring that kicker out. He just missed. Let's try to get a first down. They do the three predictable runs, bring Eddie out again, misses the 33-yarder, Falcons end up winning an OT. And I had the Panthers money line. I have their win total for the year. I had them an underdog parlay. And I felt like I picked the right team. This is like the eighth time this year this has fucking happened to me, Sal. Why? I need an exorcism. I'm telling you.
Well, I don't know. Eddie Pinheiro, I don't know if you remember, he had a game-winning field a couple years ago and thanked JC, the big guy in the sky. So I don't know if you need an exorcism or maybe go to church with Eddie or what. That was ridiculous. That was ridiculous. First of all, he was out of bounds and he took his helmet off, but he has to be out of bounds on the sidelines, out of bounds. There are guys who are out of bounds and then jump in and play with the crowd for 5 minutes.
Also,
right?
So if he had stayed inbounds, kept his helmet on, and done Thriller by Michael Jackson for 20 seconds, they're like, that's right. Fine. You weren't taunting on that.
It's dumb. It's really dumb. And it's not worth 15 yards. It's not worth sending the wrong team home. But yeah, win that game in overtime, for God's sakes. What are you doing there,
by
Panthers?
By the way, how about 5 yards? How is that worth the same as me, a punt returner, signaling a fair catch, and I run down full speed and I knock him unconscious and he has to be carried off on the cart 20 minutes later and say, that's a 15-yard penalty. And it's like, DJ Moore ran out of bounds, took his helmet off. Yep, 15 yards, got to flag it. Or put it on the kickoff. How does that decide a game?
These guys, there was one in the game we just saw, the night game, where there was jawing, right? And the Packer got called for 15 yards. He had a first down. It's like, and then they went to the rules guy. It's like, okay, so just so we know, it's not what they said to each other. It's when he pointed, signifying the first round with the two fingers. Like, that's exactly right, Mike. Oh, that's exactly. It's like, what? Because he pointed? What? So what? He pointed. He has a first down. The referee's about to point first down. I don't like
it. I hit the Pats. I hit this Vikings bet. I did this Vikings bet for $1 million picks. Vikings first half parlayed with Vikings to win the game, and it was +110. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's great. Arizona loses every first half. Did that. So hit both of those. Needed Carolina because I had them an underdog and some other stuff. And they get this miracle play. It's like, oh my God, my fortunes have churned. I'm jumping around. And it's like, 15-yard penalty. Oh, now it'll be fine. And then you see how long it is. Oh my, it was at the roller coaster, up, down, because then they have it in overtime. It's just like, I don't know. So
I don't like any of the Souths. I feel bad for you, but I don't know. But don't bet any of the South teams when they play each other, AFC NFC. I was seeing PJ Walker. It's like, yes, PJ Walker gets outdueled by Marcus Mariota and the first place Falcons. It's like, all right, but is this week one? It's like, holy shit, no. Oh, it's week nine we're going into. It really is the first place Falcons. Give me a break.
So that one had DJ Moore catches a touchdown. You have Falcons -4, Falcons money line. You're having a stroke. Panthers, greatest thing ever. Oh, PAT. Now we're going to OT. Now if you have the Falcons -4, you're like, I need a touchdown. You have the Panthers like, I'm still alive. That game was a disaster. I have my worst losses of the year in no particular order. That was number one. Indy KC week 3. Tampa Pittsburgh week 6. Browns Jaguars, where Nick Chubb has to fall down and he doesn't. Or not, Browns Jets. Nick Chubb has to fall down. He doesn't. They end up losing a 14-point lead. Minnesota, Houston, Jacksonville, week 5, when Lawrence throws the TD on the 1-yard line, which he did again today. Bears, 49ers, week 1, where the monsoon and the Bears get 2 touchdowns. And then Carolina, Cleveland, week 1, when the guy hits the 59-yard field goal and hasn't come close to doing anything like that since.
Yeah.
That's the first one. Carolina loses 2 crazy field goal games. Like, I actually think they're a decent team. I really do.
I don't know about that. I don't know. Every week I have someone different as my worst team. Boy, I wish I would have done that. Listed my it would have taken me hours
next week.
I had at least 3 of the same ones as you did, that monsoon game and everything else. Yeah, they're all bad.
Dante Foreman was awesome in the Carolina. I'm telling you, I don't think Carolina's a cross-up team. I don't think anyone's a cross-up team in that division. Then you have the Saints. They shut out Vegas at home. I know what to make of that.
I was terrible. I had the Raiders. That was another bad one. I had the Raiders. I had the Raiders +10.5, +7.5, these dumb adjusted things. And how does a team not score? It's like we saw the Saints last Thursday. You could score them, right? Not to mention the Andy Dalton thing is on the other side, but that's a team we can cross off. Are we crossing off? I'm looking at the Panthers schedule to see if you have a chance.
I think we could cross off Vegas. I'm not crossing off anyone in the NFC South. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can.
Panthers at Bengals, at Ravens, at Seahawks. You might have a shot.
They're not bad.
Yeah.
What division do you think has the most wins?
It's got to be the NFC East, right? Four for 20, Washington.
23.
Is that what it is?
Who's second?
It is the AFC East, right?
Yep. They have 20.
Yeah.
The next team or next division is the NFC West with 15.
Wow.
So big drop off. Then it goes all the way down. The AFC South has 10 wins.
Wow.
10 wins. The NFC South has 12 wins. That's why you can't count out anyone yet. Could be like right. 7 and 10 could win the NFC South. Plus, we haven't had injuries.
I was looking at that AFC South, the point differential. Tennessee up top at 5. They're a 5-2 team. They're a -6 point differential. Colts -28. Jaguars +14 are 2-6. And the Texans -38.
The Titans being 5-2 with a -6 point differential is just elite.
I appreciate Derrick Henry, but should it count as a win? Your quarterback should have to hit 100 yards. Like, all right, they're winning. They're up two scores, but can Malik Willis get to 100 yards? Otherwise, this isn't going to count. I think it should be a policy. Your quarterback in the Lord's year of 2022 should have to get to 100 yards passing.
No, they basically made him like in high school when you just put your running back in at quarterback to he's not even going to throw the ball.
Right.
I bet the Texans yesterday when I liked them anyway, and then Tannehill, they shelved them. I was like, they're going to put in Malik Willis? Like, this is... Mm-hmm. But Derrick Henry and... who was the other guy? Hilliard,
yeah.
Just big boyed the Texans. It was rough.
That might have been the best he looked in a long... Like,
oh, my God.
Right? Like a top three game for Derrick Henry? And it's not even like, cold yet?
That was high school football Derrick Henry. Or it was like, this isn't fair. They're in the wrong division.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Texans as one of the losers because they're clearly the worst team in the league now. Like they were hopeless against them. I had the LaFleur family, tough day for them. Jets offensive coordinator in Green Bay, that was a loser.
Good call.
NBC trotted out 5 white guys in a row in the pregame show at one point, which I don't think has been done since 1971. They had random white guy host with Chris Sims. And who's the other white guy?
Well, as long as Jason Garrett's one of them.
Jason Garrett.
They're always going to be the loser. Yeah.
Then they threw it to the field with Jack Collinsworth and Matthew Barr. I was like, this has to be a record. The 5 white guys in a row. We haven't seen that since I don't know, Jimmy the Greek was like smoking cigarettes on the air. Your guy, Zeke Elliott, I think, was a loser today. How does he get his job back?
Yeah, I get it. And I think Pollard should be the main guy anyway, but I don't know. I read a lot on the Cowboys and they're down on, not that it mattered today, but they're down on Pollard's blocking ability and Zeke is supposed to shine when it comes to that. So yeah, look, I'm happy with that offense. I'm definitely happy with 6-2 going into a bye when my quarterback was out
good.
Most of those games. I'll take that. I would have taken that before the season.
Panthers 35-1 to win the NFC South. I might have to dip back in. Why not?
Enough. You have enough.
Put a little more. Just a tiny bit more. Minnesota is -850 in the NFC North.
Yeah.
The Philly one's fun. -370 +400 and 13-1 for the Giants. You're mm-hmm. you're 4-1.
Why not? You don't like the Cowboys? I know they're 1.5 out, but they play the Eagles again. I think we're just as good as them. I really
I'd agree with you. 4-1 seems a little high to me. The other one I was looking at was the Bengals. There's been a chase overreaction where they're +210 now. Mm-hmm. They beat the Browns tomorrow. I think they could easily take that.
Well, here's the problem. The Ravens, this is the Ravens schedule as you wait for Jamar Chase to get back. At Saints versus Panthers, who I know you love. At Jaguars versus Broncos. That's an easiest. They should go 3-1 that month. Yeah.
Good call. That's got to explain the odds. The Seahawks are +310.
It's a fun one.
Cardinals sitting there at 12-1 as Cliff gets fired.
Oh.
Kyler, who knows? All right, let's do Guess the Lines. Week 8. We have a bunch of teams on bye.
Shouldn't be like this. Why should there ever be more than 4 teams on a bye?
Happiest
they got to get us involved. We got to make some changes in the NFL. We don't need pay. We don't need to get paid. They just have to listen to us. There shouldn't be 6 teams off.
Couldn't agree. The challenge on MTV did this. They listened to me. I'm an unpaid consultant. They just they let me do seasons and everybody's happy about it.
Great.
Week 9 buys. I think Pittsburgh is delighted to get to a bye.
Mm-hmm.
Giants probably happy to get to a bye at 6-2. Cleveland, we'll see tomorrow night. Denver gets to a bye off just an ugly win in London, but at least they have like a tiny bit of momentum. And then the two that I think would probably not want the bye are Dallas and San Francisco. Because you got Dallas, Prescott actually looked good today, and San Francisco's got mojo now, but maybe they get a week to heal everybody.
Yeah, you get Debo back if you go like rest a little bit, and Dallas maybe would. Yeah, I'm fine taking the bye now.
Well, week 8 guest alliance. What's the score now between us?
I don't know. We're not still keeping the score, are we? I thought this was just for fun. 4-2-2. You have the lead.
I'm up 2.
Yep.
You're like the Packers. You're down, but you're not out.
That's right.
Speaking of down and out, Thursday night, Al Michaels. This is a let Al drink during the game. Let him just have a snifter. Al has to go to Houston, and he has to watch the Eagles come to Houston. And after what I saw, I watched that entire game today. I can't imagine how they're going to stop the Eagles running game.
Yeah.
This is definitely double digits.
They held Malik Willis to 55 yards. Remember that before you go crazy.
I have the Eagles by 11.5.
You're going to get it. I don't know why I said 10.5, because you're right about all those things. It's 13.
Oof. They don't even want you to think about a 10.3 teamer with this.
By the way, interesting. Philly at Houston Thursday night, which is the day off from the World Series, Philly-Houston.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, isn't it?
What was the live line on game one when Philly was down 5-0?
18-1.
Oh, my God.
I hated that. I'm the only one in the country rooting for Houston. I was at that wedding this weekend, and everybody's like, why? How could you root for this team? Like, I don't want the Mets to be the Phillies and the Braves and the Nats to win three in the last 5 years. It makes me look bad. Like, oh, you can't root for Houston. Nobody should root for Houston. They really are the most hated team in sports, I think.
It's weird that they've passed the Yankees.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that.
Mm-hmm. I think as long as Altuve's on that team and Bregman was kind of hated back in the day.
Altuve's never going to live down the don't touch my chest during the home run celebrate. That clip, live on forever. Sunday marquee game. I don't have one. Blank. I have two watchables. I think this is really the worst week of football that we've had. And if there's ever a week to hang out with your kids or do something, this is the week. Two watchable games.
Yeah. Go ahead. I don't think Rams Tampa is watch. I think it's unwatchable, but go ahead. Do you have unwatchables?
I do not.
Okay.
I have Falcons Chargers. I think the Falcons are just plain watchable. If you give them another team that can move the ball, the Falcons are really enjoyable. They got Kyle Pitts going today. Drake London's fun. Mariota's weird. I like Arthur Smith on the sidelines. He looks like kind of like Spalding Smales, has that kind of vibe to him. This game's in Atlanta. I think the Chargers continue to be overvalued, and I'm going to say Falcons by 1.
Oh, wow. The Chargers are way overvalued, even more than you think. I had them by 2.5, the Chargers. Chargers favored by 3.
Oh, Jesus. I'm betting the Falcons.
Coming off a bye.
Yeah, I don't care. Wait, what is Brandon Staley's going to have another week to think of dumb shit? Give me a break.
He's like, I'm going to go on 4th and 7 now. We've had a bye.
He's like, I've studied my 4th down tendencies and I should be more aggressive.
Well, you're right. This is the most watchable game, I think. Because Chargers will let him in it. Yeah.
Oh, Atlanta's, that's stupid. That should be a pick 'em. By the way, those teams are pretty even. Since when are the Chargers? What makes them so great? Keenan Allen's been hurt all year. Mike Williams got hurt last week. I don't trust Eckler to play 4 quarters. Jackson's out. Bosa gets hurt every 3 games. What's so great about the Chargers? They're poorly coached.
You listed them as a playoff team, like minute one into this podcast, didn't you? Didn't you have them as like the 7th?
Somebody's got to be the 7th seed.
All right.
It's going to probably be 9-8. It's going to be a 7th seed.
All right, be careful.
I mean, remember last year, fucking Ben Roethlisberger's corpse made the playoffs last year.
Yeah, that's true.
14 playoff teams, a lot. All right, here's my other watchable game. Maybe it's just for me. The Bengals at home against my Panthers. Just not quitting on this Panthers team. This PJ Walker is really fun to watch. He really is.
Oh, this is you're like crazy.
No, I'm
watchable.
Not. Dante Foreman. I got Bengals by 6.5.
Well, that's why you think it's watchable. I said 7.5. It's 9.
Oh.
Vegas does not think this is watchable.
Okay.
I wanted to. Now you're not going to put this on a teaser with me? How dare you?
God, no. I'm going to bet the Panthers. And I need to donate more Panthers money to wherever the money goes when you lose bets. Fairly watchables. Well, you know what? This, I changed my mind. This is a watchable. I'm going to give it 3 watchables. Dolphins, Bears.
Mm.
I think Fields is watchable now. And I, you know who else is good? Is Herbert. When the Pats went against Herbert last week, he was actually like legitimately scary. Every time he got the ball, I thought he was going to get 6 yards.
They have, I don't want to misspeak here. I feel like they have like 520 yards rushing in the last 2 weeks or something.
It's something crazy like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think this is watchable. I got Dolphins by 3.5 in Chicago.
You're going to get it. I said Dolphins by 3. It's 4.5.
Mm.
It's a lot. It's a little heavy.
Boy, this looks like an underdog week so far.
Well, I guess. So the Lions was what? Miami was 3.5 against the Lions?
Yeah.
So they added a point at Chicago?
Stupid Lions. Dumb team.
Yeah, that is a dumb team. They really, I looked at it, I was like, what? I stared at the 1-6. I'm like, that can't be right. And it is so right.
Did you say they have these advanced stats about separation that receivers get? And usually it's like 2 yards, and Tyreek Hill was like 3.5 yards per play. He was open just with nobody near him.
That's this week or for the season?
That was this week for the Lions game. He was just consistently open the entire game, but like 3.5 yards. I forget where I saw it, but I enjoyed it. Fairly watchable. So we got another underdog, the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Home for Sad Sack Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
I hit this exact, so.
Well. Come on. It's going to be Packers by 3.
3.5.
Oh, fuck me.
They gave him the nudge there. Little halfy point there hanging out there. That's a fun one. Might be a loser leaves town for the Packers.
Might be. I don't totally understand the Packers thing. I know they have less weapons on offense, but I thought their defense was going to be good, and it's just not that good. I don't get that part.
Yeah, it was Za'Darius Smith goes over the Vikings. I don't think he's going too crazy for them defensively, per se, but yeah, they can't get it together.
And, 7 first-round picks on D?
They don't have the advantage. Would you rather be the Saints or the Packers right now?
I'd rather have Aaron Rodgers.
Packers are 3.5 games out of the Vikings. I guess they'd both be fighting for a playoff spot. But I'm just saying the Saints could catch first place. Packers can't at this point.
We need another Rodgers celebrity relationship. And he's got to do something. Maybe Aubrey Plaza.
You think so? Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think she's another home dog. Jets.
Yeah.
Jets at home. And unfortunately, it's against Buffalo. See, this is why this week's terrible. You have these like huge road favorite lines. It's not even fun to bet those.
Mm-hmm.
I have Bills by 11.5.
Oh, jerk. At 11, it's 12.5.
Man. So that'll end up at 13.
Yeah, so let's just take it. And then, well, I got a couple others for it. I can't believe you won't go with Cincinnati with me here.
I'll tell you this, not without Chase. I need to see them tomorrow night before I decide how I feel about them without Chase. Because everyone's like, oh, they'll just move Higgins to, like, that's not how this works. It's a big jump to go from number 2 receiver to number 1 receiver. We've seen this before.
All right. So who's on the other side? DJ Moore, who can't keep his helmet on, and PJ Walker? They're fine. They'll be fine.
Fair. I would say this about the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have an excellent defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were all over the place in that game. And honestly, if Zach Wilson was even a C+, the Jets probably win that game.
You were so scared.
This Bills line would be too high
in there. Yeah. I do feel bad for the Jet fans. That was the biggest game they've had in that arena in many years, right? Like 7, maybe more.
We have some good players. Ramondre has been awesome this season.
Let's make that trade. I think we can make that trade now.
To Chase? You want Chase now?
Yeah, I'll take him. I don't care.
We have another road favorite. We have another road favorite, I think. Because Washington is home. Playing the Vikings. Mm-hmm. I watched that entire Washington game because I had a Washington bet.
Right.
their defense is pretty good, even without Chase Young. I don't think he played in this one either, but they got a big fourth down and one stop. I didn't think Ellinger was bad in the second half. He was actually kind of scary. Mm-hmm. He was moving around. He made some throws. I didn't know what was happening. Pittman murdered them. Pittman had a couple of big drops in that game.
He did.
I don't know if Washington's that terrible, but I think the Vikings are going to be favored, and I would be afraid to bet them. I'm going to say Vikings by 2.
Oh, we only split it. I said 4. I went heavy with it. It's 3.
Yeah, this is an underdog parlay possibility for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins, revenge? You don't care about that?
Well, exactly. You know, Cousins today, that fucking Vikings team,
yeah,
where they just wouldn't put Arizona away. Arizona was like, it was like wrestling. Arizona's like lying on the mat. It's like, pin me. Mm-hmm. The rest like 1-2. And the Vikes kept pulling them up.
Right.
And they get the touchdown, 34-26. It's like, all right, now this done. And then Butler's like, no, I'm going to hit the upright on this PAT. So he does that. And then it's like Arizona had 17 chances in the second half to tie the game. Yeah. But they're so inept.
And then they got it back. They went 3 and out, the Vikings, too, right? They gave it back twice.
And Kirk started to get that. They were hitting him. And he started to get that little frazzled Kirk Cousins thing. And I was like, you son of a bitch. You're going to throw a pick six, aren't you? But he didn't. I could see Washington getting him. Cardinals, Seahawks. You know, this should have been a watchables. I should have put that. I'm moving this one up. I'm promoting this one.
Well, this is weird. Is something going on? Is the World Series? No, the World Series will be over. Why are there only 2 late afternoon games?
The Rams, I think because the world. No, World Series won't be over. Right?
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Game 5 is Thursday. Yeah, it'll be over. Game 5 is Wednesday.
Oh, so it won't be over. Yeah, you're right. Game 7 Saturday night.
I think you know what they're doing? They thought, so once in a while, like, Fox will want to run the table, and they thought this Rams-Bucks game would be dynamite, and so they get the right to scrap the rest of the schedule for the late afternoon. And it's going to be garbage. But this is Seattle-Arizona is the better of the two games. You're right.
Wait a second. Let's talk about this. Maybe someone in the NFL is listening to us. Why couldn't they move like Chargers-Falcons to the late game?
Yeah.
Or why couldn't they move? I don't know.
I think there's 6 teams off. That doesn't help. But
yeah, but move. Yeah, I would move that Chargers-Falcons game. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, you still have
8 3 hours
early games. I think way too much about this. I know.
NFL just hates us. I have Cards minus 1.5 at home against the Seahawks.
Damn, I had 1. It's 3.
Oh,
should it be 3?
Wait a second.
Arizona's 3.
Wait a second. Wait a second. The Cardinals are favored by 3 points over the Seahawks.
Yeah.
That's idiotic.
It's a lot, but
that's idiotic.
They're waiting for the Sharps to pounce.
Going pounce on who?
Seattle. On the guy who does his homework. Kyler Murray.
Cards suck.
They be careful stink. With this one.
No, I'm not going to be careful.
Praised Seattle and Geno Smith for 25 minutes.
Yeah, and I'm going to praise them with some money too.
All right.
That line will be, I'll tell you this. I bet that line is even by game time.
Really?
I think that goes the other way. I think there's Seattle action all Sunday, Monday.
What kind of crowd will it be? Is Seattle fans are just going to travel everywhere?
Well, the Cardinals fans can't be like, cool.
Yeah.
Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. Who wants to go on Sunday? Like, no way.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go. Oh, fairly watchables. Last one is Bucks-Rams. Which is so funny because Fox cleared out the entire day for this Bucks-Rams. And fairly watchable is being kind because it's not fun to watch Tom Brady at all. It's not fun to watch the Rams at all. I got Bucks by 3. And I kind of like the Bucks.
I feel bad that Buck and Aikman have to sit through. Oh, wait, no, they don't do this game anymore.
Hmm.
No, it's you're closer. It's 2.5. I said 1. How can you make Tampa? The Rams suck too. I don't know. I don't know anymore. I still think 2.5, 3 is too hefty for that Bucks team.
It's a kind of a good matchup for them, though, because they can't stop the run anymore for some reason, but the Rams can't run the ball.
Right.
Right. And then on the other side, I don't know. This is WCW, like 1997 Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan level. It's like, this would have been cool 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone's dying their beard. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those. Poop fact, I got two games. Pat's home for the Colts. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I love the Patriots, but I don't know how this isn't a poop fact game. The Colts are one of the most unwatchable teams in the recent history of the National Football League. And the only reason I know this is because I've had bets with them or against them for, I think, like 6 of the 8 weeks. And they are just dreadful to watch. Just dreadful. I hate everything about them. I don't want to watch them anymore. And I can't believe I have to watch them next week. I have Pats by 4.5.
Oh. No, they are dreadful. And Vegas recognizes that. I said 6. It's 6.5.
Oh.
That's fair. How many young quarterbacks is Belichick going to lose to? It ain't happening. I think you're good here.
Frank took the points a couple times today, and I actually kind of agreed with it. With Ellinger. Frank Reich.
Frank Reich. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What'd they end up with? 16? Are we sure Ryan couldn't have gotten a 20? These are the questions.
Yeah, Ellinger was pretty good in the second half. He's fine. I wasn't against it.
The worst thing he did was run. He came up short a half a yard on that run, which we all thought was a first down before they spotted it.
So this is interesting. Did you think they should have gone for that? Because they needed a yard to win the game, but they were on their own 29 and they had a rookie QB. And I actually thought it was the right move to punt because at that point, I think Washington had like 10 points.
Yeah.
And the Colts had 3 times as many yardage and it just felt like they had stopped them all game. And it's like, really, I'm going to put my guy in the spot who can barely complete a pass. I was okay with the punting. Normally I would say you got to go for it, but
in that
situation, I would say no.
Right. This is exactly what we talk about with analytics. It matters everything that else is going on, right? If you have Jonathan Taylor week 8 from 2021, you go for it, right?
I'm going for it.
No Jonathan Taylor, punt it.
I didn't think their line was blocking well. I didn't trust their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Pittman had already had a couple weird plays. And I don't know. I didn't mind the punt. Normally, I would have been like, what are you doing? But that time, I was like,
Yeah, just stop Heineke.
Let's see if Taylor Heineke can go 80 yards here.
Right.
Jags Raiders is the other poop factor. I'm going to try not to watch 1 minute of this game.
I screwed this line up.
Did you really? I have Jags by 2.
Oh, you screwed it up worse. I had Jags by 1.5. Vegas is favored by 1.
Oh, come on.
They did it this week, too.
That's absurd.
Are we tied? We're tied with 2 left.
The Raiders have played 3 absolute garbage games this year. Jacksonville at least hangs around and then just like chokes.
I can't believe the Raiders. I mean, aside from Josh Jacobs, you don't want to start any fantasy players on that team. You don't want to watch the game.
I know. What happened to Hunter Renfro? He's like
so bummed.
He's gonna be in the waiver wire this week.
Oh, he doesn't play. He doesn't.
Darren Waller's like almost out of the league.
Waller will never see. It's brutal. It is brutal watching them. And what happened to Daniels? They had a press conference and the lights went out like 5 minutes in because Mark Davis wanted to chat with him like immediately. Did you see that?
Heard
someone
make
that up? Yeah, I think
so. Surprised me.
He was left in the dark.
Sunday night, Chiefs are hosting the Titans. I'll go this far. I think Vrabel is in coach of the year running and might be the coach of the year. I have no idea how this team has 5 wins.
On. Really?
But who's name anyone on their team other than Derrick Henry and Simmons?
No, I know. But
come on.
You got to look at the division, right? Give it to anyone in the NFC East or AFC East first.
This team started Malik Willis. He can't throw football. They started him in a quarterback today. They still won.
He didn't throw a football. He couldn't.
I guess he didn't. I think Vrabel's incredible. This team, his team is not good. And they actually think they're good now. I have I have Chiefs by 8.5 over the Titans.
That's exactly what I had. So it's going to come down to the last one. It's 11.
Oh, really?
It's 11.
See,
that's
what I mean. The Titans are not good.
Well, and they got blown out on a night game before, right? And they lost to the Bills. I don't think they want to make that mistake too much. And the Chiefs are off a bye. Isn't Andy Reid insane off a bye?
Isn't Derrick Henry insane against the Chiefs?
Yeah, probably. Probably. But he's going to have to throw. He'll have to throw.
Well, Tannehill will be back. Monday.
Is he supposed to be back? I guess he will.
I mean, he should be back.
Mm-hmm.
From what I saw today, I'm not sure about that Malik Willis pick, to say the least. Monday night, Baltimore is at New Orleans. I think there New Orleans is going to be our last road, or the Ravens are going to be our last road favorite.
You're going to beat me here. Damn it.
I got Ravens by 3.
All right. Well, at least you got it exactly. I had four. Yeah. That was dumb. Yeah. Wasn't Baltimore by 4? So you're up 5-2-2. That was dumb.
So I'm up 3 games on you. This is like Packers Vikings.
Let me do that pick over. Will you give me a redo on that? I like 3. I like them by 3.
Let's take a break and do Paracorder. Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by CarMax. If you're looking for a car, CarMax has the perfect mix of online and on-the-lot shopping. So you can buy your ride on your terms, and you can buy online and get your car with express pickup or home delivery. Or if you prefer to shop in person, you can go to one of our 235 stores nationwide. At CarMax, buying a car is as smooth as driving it. Express pickup available nationwide. Home delivery available in select markets. See CarMax.com for details. CarMax. Car buying reimagined. All right, what do you got, Sal?
All right, well, I don't know. I mean, this might be premature, but I'm going to miss high school football. My son's a senior. They made the playoffs, and they're gonna, I don't want to speak too loudly, but if you match up the, you know, who played who, this might be it for the Mustangs.
This weekend.
This weekend coming up, this Friday. They're moving up. They're moving up to, like, Division 4. Did your son's team make it?
They're Div 8.
Division 8. All right. So we're Division 4. Southern California is crazy. There's like 16 divisions for 16 teams. This is Southern California. And so like they'll have like great divisions. And if you go 4-6 in that division, they'll just move you down. Anyway, there's like 200 teams competing in the playoffs here in all different divisions. Doesn't look great for us. Want to thank my kid for giving me the opportunity to watch and scream and lose my voice and be critical of referees. It's what I do best. And I'm going to miss it. And that's it. That's really just it. The only thing I'll say is if after this week he's eliminated, I'm going to miss it so much. If you're a listener in the Southern California area and your kid's playing, even you, Simmons, I'll go watch because I'm not done yet.
Well, now
you've got a lot to offer.
Once this is over, you're stuck in the world of terrible baseball games. 5-hour doubleheaders, 89-degree humidity.
Oh, shit. We're already going to San Clemente next Saturday for this whole thing, just as you said it, yeah. But anyway, I'm available if anyone needs me.
I do like San Clemente. So, my son, they had their last game. They made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And this is a somber one, but somebody got hurt in the game, and the game got stopped for 20 minutes. Somebody on the other team, and 10 people around. They had the back thing where they put somebody on when they don't want to move them, and they had to call an ambulance. Sure. Ambulance fire engine came, and it turned out the kid was okay. I think he had a stinger, and they were being super safe. But it was the first time at one of those games where you kind of look at your wife and you're like, wait, what are we doing here? And then 10 minutes later, a kid on our team broke his ankle. Same thing. Game stopped. And same thing. We look at each other like, wait, what are we doing here?
Right.
It's pretty horrible when you're there and one of those moments happen. That's not my parent corner. I just wanted to mention, like, we talk about how great football is, but there's a couple times a year where it's absolutely pretty dark. By the way, this has happened in soccer. There's other sports where this happens. It's not the only sport, but
you watch like parkour on YouTube and it flows nicely. It's like ballet. It's like, all right, let's look at some of the trial and error. You get some perspective.
So they made the playoffs and they're going to we're traveling like 2 hours to some place for a game this week. My parent corner. So my son turns 15 this week, and I was telling him and my daughter, we were telling them the story of the day my son was born, which was on Halloween in 2007, or we thought it was going to be Halloween. And we just bought the house that that you've been to that was in this Halloween neighborhood. And it was going to be the first time we trick-or-treated in this Halloween neighborhood with my daughter. And it was like her first, she was like 2.5. So it was like the first real trick-or-treating with the daughter where they actually know it. They're dressed up. They're excited. They can run up and hold the thing. It's like the 2.5 range is probably the greatest Halloween thing, I think. So, of course, my son decides around noon on Halloween that he's coming out. So now we go to the hospital and we're in the delivery room. And, you know, you don't pump a kid out. It's going to take a couple hours. So my daughter's best friend and her mom are at our house and I'm in the hospital and we can't believe that we're not trick-or-treating with Zoe the first time. We've been playing
Ben,
this forever.
First time he officially
first time he was a prick. He's not even out yet. He's a dick. And my wife's like, you got to go trick-or-treat with us, her for an hour, take pictures, bring them back. I think I had my crappy BlackBerry, so I'm taking like BlackBerry photos. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, you sure you're not going to have Ben yet? She's like, I'm sure. She just got an epidural. She's like, no, go. So I drive from Cedarside. I drive like fast and furious, 200 miles an hour, get back home, get in there, grab my daughter. We go, we walk around like 3 blocks, super emotional, like the first real trick or treat, get a couple pictures, bring her back, zoom back to the hospital. And then Ben is like, nope, not ready yet. And takes another 8 hours and comes out at 3:30 in the morning. So we had a chance for him to be a Michael Myers baby, but ends up November 1st. So we tell this whole story. It was longer than the version I just told. Finish it. And my son goes, cool, and walks away. Parent corner.
You want an apology?
Yeah, no, it just would have been like, just ask one question, maybe, hey, did this? No, he was like, cool. It's the story of my birth and first trick-or-treating and our first year at the house. Nah, couldn't care. Just walked off to go play
That's
Fortnite.
It?
Yeah. Paracorder, baby.
He's like, cool, I got one over on you. I forgot. I'll put that in my book. I didn't actually count that as a win.
Cool. Even as a fetus, I was a prick.
All right.
That's it for parents.
Fetus.
Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by CarMax. Everyone should have the confidence that they bought the right car, and the CarMax 30-day money-back guarantee means you get to take the time you need to make sure you've found your perfect match up to 1,500 miles. See CarMax.com for details. CarMax, car buying reimagined. Wait, before we go, you went to a wedding that I couldn't go to this weekend, but did you push baby doll into a wedding cake?
No, I didn't push him in a wedding cake. He did. So the wedding was in Jupiter, Florida. It was right by one of his houses. He's shown us countless pictures of this house, right? And so it was like in the backyard of his house. And he has a Bentley in his driveway. I didn't even know. Talking about pricks. I mean, I love him to death. He has a Bentley and it's parked on an angle so that everybody could see it. So Jimmy and I say, we got to steal this Bentley. And so we get his middle daughter in on it. Like, can you leave us the keys and we'll time it so that he sees it and he's out, you know? And so we do. We sneak in there. She leaves the keys on the tire. We zoom off in it. And about 10 minutes later, he has a glass of wine and a cigarette and he's freaking out. F cursing, where's my Bentley? Where's my Bentley? And I come speeding by with Jimmy. He's like, oh, you son of a bitch. He got mad. He got mad for like 20 seconds. And then I parked it like 6 houses away in the neighbor's driveway, a neighbor who he didn't like. So, which I didn't know that. That was just my joke. So he was mad about that too. But I'll give you a good story real quick. The wedding was beautiful, by the way. And great. His daughter was beautiful. It was a great time. But Grace's friend, Cyrus, comes up and baby introduces me to him. And this guy and his fiance, he's like, Cyrus actually introduced Grace to Hampton, that's her husband. And Cyrus's fiance says, yeah, can you believe, she looks at the wedding. She's like, it's so beautiful here. She's like, can you believe we have to follow this in 3 months? And he looks at her baby doll and says, yeah, good luck to you, and walks away. Good luck to you. Good luck topping this. Such an asshole. But I love, and she's like, oh, all right, I thought I was just being nice, I don't know what. Okay.
Amazing. Was he smoking during the wedding ceremony or no?
Oh yeah, he took a lot of cigarette breaks, but he was drenched. He was dancing. He mentioned me. He had like a 25 minute long speech where he thanked everyone from the groom's father to the people who rented him the tent. I mean, he listed everybody, but thanked me I was at a table with Colbert and Jimmy and John Stewart and thanked me for giving him his nickname, Baby Doll, but didn't thank those guys. It was quite an achievement for me.
Interesting. Maybe he was trying to butter you up because he's afraid you're going to shove him into the wedding cake.
That might be it. Yeah. I'd already taken his Bentley.
We told this story like 9 years ago, but at Jimmy's wedding in 2013, we were all hanging out and they're pushing the wedding cake by us and Baby's back was to it. And you had this look in your eye and he just recognized there's a split second where you were just going to shove him into the wedding cake. And he dived to the side like there had been a bomb went off and you were going to shove him into the wedding cake. It was going to happen.
He like tripped over his own feet trying to get away from me, even though I hadn't made a move to it. It was like a Jedi mind trick I played on him. Yeah.
You tortured him for so long. He dove out of the way of this wedding cake. The only time that's probably ever happened. Anyway. Right. All right. What do you got to plug, Sal?
There you go. The Extra Points Podcast Network. Check it out. ExtraPoints.com. Against All Odds. Tomorrow we'll break down Cleveland, Cincinnati. We'll pick Game 3 of the World Series and all sorts of nonsense.
All right. Who do we think is going to win the World Series?
I still have the Astros. Everyone hates me for rooting for them, but I have the Astros and Bregman for MVP. You're rooting Phillies, right? You have to.
I'm out. I don't care. I have some Philly some Philly friends that are into it, and I hate the Astros, but I don't know. There's so much football and basketball going on. I was really rooting for the Lakers to go 0-82. It was my dream.
Did they win? They pulled it out
tonight?
Yeah,
they won. Fucking,
they did?
Yeah, classic.
it probably wasn't going to happen, 0-82.
Well, you'll be all right. Listen, until they win one, you never know. 0-82 seems possible.
They'll go 3-79. You'll still be happy.
Cuz, good to see you as always. Good job by you.
Good job by you.
All right, that's it for the podcast. Thanks to Cousin Sal, as always. Thanks to Kyle Creighton. Thanks to Dylan Berkey, and congratulations to our guy, Steve Cerruti, a proud dad. I will see you on Tuesday.